Chapter 4. Rach barely noticed the gate. His face was bleeding from where the eyes had been stitched in, and the pain made him crazed. All in his pack were the same, damaged and howling. They sprinted harder than they had ever done before, driven now by a terrible need. They had to find, to seek out whatever scuttling things still squatted in the crevices and drag them into the light. It was no longer about meat orgies, but about the gore-tide and service to the Lord with the twin-bladed axe. The lightning whipped down, over and over, lighting up the ruins with cold flashes. He saw the stonework sway and glimmer, and every burst made his bloody eyes flare with fresh pain. They had run past the gate, sweeping through its mighty foundations, sniffing and panting, following the scents of despair. Ahead of them were the three towers, each one drenched and lit up by lightning strikes. The mortals were there, scrawny playthings. Cool would want to see them dragged out, made to squeal. Then they would be running again, searching, their nostrils flared, seeking something worthy of the Gore-tide's axes. Rach powered up the slope. He saw movement against the wall ahead, weapons being lifted, shadows moving. If he had not been in such agony, he might have laughed, for such preparations would not help those who cowered behind the wall. The rest of the Blood Reaver pack came with him towards the summit, hissing curses, knowing that the mortals had nowhere else to go and no longer bothering with stealth. At last there would be proper killing. At last the gouges and the hooks would be twisted in deep, and there would be fresh meat dragged back for the master to pick over. A great crack of thunder broke the skies in twain, and Rach staggered. He looked up, his face spattered with rain, and noticed for the first time just what had happened to the sky. A vast circle had formed over the summits of the three towers. Like a vortex of storm seas, it turned with gathering force. The lightning was incessant now, twisting and forking and mutating the night sky into a riot of cobwebbed silver. Something about that display terrified him. It was like looking into Kool's pitiless face, only with a different kind of fear. A harder fear. A colder fear. Rach shrank back. He couldn't take his new eyes off the light, which was reaching a flickering crescendo. The rain bounced from the rock, driven into scouring flurries by the wind. Everything was glistening, flashing and burning. He started to fall back, to slide down the slope. The impulsion given to him by Kool was giving away, replaced by a different dread. Another crack, and this time the earth beneath him shuddered. Rock plates thrust upwards, tilting to expose rivers of seething fire beneath. The arch of the gate swelled into flames that coursed over the naked stone, burning blue like marsh gas. Then he was running, hearing back the way he had come. This was no natural storm. It was some conflagration of the demonic, sent from the pits of madness to swallow them all. The entire landscape was shifting, knocked from its roots by the elemental violence of the heavens. Rach crashed to his knees, losing his axe in the fall. He felt a sudden heat. It swelled through the rain, vaporizing it and making the air thick with steam. He cried out, but his voice was lost in the greater explosion of primeval forces. It was as if the world itself was being ripped apart and forged anew. Light was everywhere, eye-searing and white-hot. For an instant, Rach thought he was being burned alive. But just as suddenly as it had come, the blaze blew itself out. He looked up, shaking uncontrollably. For a moment he saw nothing, his vision hazy from the flash of light. And then he saw what the storm had brought. Kool led his army through the cleft just as the storm reached its height. It had been far too narrow for his armoured horde, so he had exerted his power, calling out words of eternal resonance and raising his axe blade into the eldritch night. His god had answered, shaking the earth and remaking it around them. The sides of the cleft shuddered, cracked, and were smashed into rubble, exploding in a rain of flying stone shards. The boom of it echoed out across the plain beyond, and the great expanse opened up before them, the path bludgeoned clear as if swept aside by mighty hands. cool bellowed with laughter, feeling the sharp pleasure of the power at his command. Even the stone beneath his feet obeyed the will of his dark patron. It would not be long now before the final gift was bestowed, and he joined the legions of eternal slaughter. His warriors surged forward, crying out his name in fell voices. "Cool! Cool! Cool!" they chanted, breaking into a run, unshackling their axes from great chains looped about their armor, and swinging the curse-darkened metal in clenched fists. With the crack of barbed whips and the bellows of the warband leaders, the great mass of fighters broke out from the confines of the parched valley, poured through the demolished gap between the cliffs, and looked out over the plain of ruins beyond. Cool was at the apex of the charge, with Grizzlemaul loping at his feet, and was the first to witness the deep veins of magic unleashed in the skies above him. An actinic tempest rampaged across the gate's apex, and the colossal energies reverberated through his every muscle. Fell storms had been summoned in the past, some by his own command, but never like this one. Even the rain tasted different, icy, gritty, as if filled with tiny diamonds. His ravaged old heart beat harder. Some great sorcery was at play here, of a kind he had never encountered before. Grizzlemaul sensed the battle rage stirring and barked furiously.
"Advance!"
Cool thundered, exhilarated by what he was seeing, hearing, smelling. The Gore-tide swarmed down the long scree slopes, parting around their master and forging ahead, heading down swiftly to the plains. Their banners were raised against the teeming skies, and the sacred signs of Khorne swung up above the ranks of iron helms, already glossy in the rain. Companies of blood warriors marched out towards the gate's foundations, chanting litanies to the god of battles as they shoved against one another. Vech, the flayer, pushed on ahead of them all, lashing them into ever greater heights of frenzy. In his wake echoed greater bellows yet, issued from jaws that were far larger than those of the blood warriors in the great mass of the horde, and yet still hidden by the swirls of night shadow and sullen flame. Cool remained where he was, poised above the expanse, taking in the vastness of it. He saw the old ruins and the demolished walls of the age-scoured cities, and the distant marks of a forgotten apocalypse. Threx's bronze icon had already kindled with an angry fire, feeding from the energy burning around them. Cool stood atop the stone shelf, his eyes narrowing. He looked up at the enormous arch, tracing its outline, noting the runes on the lintels. It had been a long time since he had seen runes of that kind. They should have been extinct, just like their makers. The sight of them fueled his battle lust further. Their existence was like an explicit challenge. He would take them down, one by one, ripping them from the stone with his own hands. Down below, more of his battalions fanned out, covering the black lands in a carpet of red. As the last of them reached the open ground, a mighty crack, like the bones of the earth snapping, echoed across the plains. Cool laughed. He couldn't help himself. He lifted his arms and lightning snapped against his clenched gauntlets.
"I am Khorgas Ghul, Lord of the Earth. Show yourself, Stormweavers, and test your mettle against one worthy of your strength."
The storm flared. The tempest churned faster, surging around the gate under its epicenter. A second crack. Plumes of flame shot up from the ground, spewing oily smoke above them. The stink of ozone filled the air, and the rain boiled away in hissing cloudbanks. A low rumble ran across the earth, making the rock plates grind and crack. It felt as if giants were stirring below the world's skin, rousing from eons of slumber to break back into the realms of the living. Then there was an almighty explosion of light, one that made his army turn their faces away, covering their helms with warding gestures. The banners faltered, The war cries were silenced, and the heavens erupted in sheets of silver flame. The air itself screamed, torn apart by some sorcery so potent and so pure that its elements were sundered from one another and forged anew. Shafts of iridescence slammed down from the firmament, punching deep into the earth below. The wind's howl became deafening, racing across the reeling landscape and flattening the iron-limbed vegetation. The gate seemed to swell, to grow, towering higher over a vortex of gathering power. Even as the land around it was shriven and the hordes were driven to their knees by the tearing gale, the vast arch remained resolute, untouched, carved from the very bones of the world itself, and glowering black as obsidian against the storm's fury. Only Kool kept his composure. He spread his arms wide before the elemental wrath and laughed as the fire-scored wind tore at his cloak. He raised his axe high, and lightning snapped and licked up against its dire blade. And so it was that he alone saw them come. He saw them, borne down from the storm by the white-blue shafts and ripped from coils of shimmering magic. He saw them hurtle from the heart of the turning maelstrom, encased in brilliant cocoons of light. He saw them strike the earth with shuddering, eye-burning force. Where they crashed into the ground, domes of energy sprang up, each one swimming with raging coruscation. Then the dome shattered, spraying fragments of crystalline matter across the burning land, exposing the scions of the storm, the ones delivered by the wrath of the skies. They were tall, taller than the greatest of mortal men, clad in purest gold and bearing war hammers that glistened with seething energy. Masks they wore, gold as their battle plate, each one gazing impassively out at the devastation around them. Some had pearl-white wings that spread out behind them, bearing them aloft almost as soon as they had landed. Others strode out from their broken cocoons, their movements fluid despite the weight of arcane armor. Their every movement was perfect, poised to perfection and suffused with godlike power. They strode out from the remnants of the lightning that had hurled them into reality, hefting their weapons with an eerie, fluid power. One of them carried a great standard of gold and bone, and his face was masked with the stark image of a skull. Another propelled himself high into the storm-lashed skies, his wings still surrounded by the blinding aura of the descent. They were the lords, then, the masters of these strange outcasts from the arch of the heavens. But Kool could see that one alone was the true master of the host. He had come down first and had emerged from the annihilation of the domes before any other, and Kool had watched him with a greedy yearning. Alone of the warriors, he did not tread the earth of Akshi, but rode a giant beast with skin of dark cobalt and jaws the length of a man. The rider's cloak, billowing out in the eddies of the storm, was the sapphire of clear skies, and his helm was surmounted with a golden crest. The image of the hammer and comet shone out from a boss on his armor, and, like the brothers that emerged after him, he carried that most devastating of the great weapons of old, the warhammer, crimson-shafted and wrought from glittering gold. As soon as Kool saw this, a savage joy erupted in his breast. He remembered what it was like to face an enemy capable of fighting. He saw the might in those steel-clad arms and the artistry in that golden armor, and knew then that these foes were like nothing he had ever faced before. The light of unsullied star realms shone in their masked eyes, and the calm presumption of victory bled from their every poised movement. But there was more than that. The mounted warrior held his attention. Kool heard Grizzlemore growl, and recalled another combat, lifetimes ago, one which had remained unfinished, cut short by the intervention of lightning, just as this encounter had been presaged by it. could not be. Such things were impossible, sundered by too much time and space. But the feeling was the same. The instinct was the same. By now his army was recovering itself. They were picking themselves up from where they had fallen, shaking their heads to clear them, retrieving axes, remembering their voices of hatred and murder. Skullbrand strode among them, rousing them to repel the storm-born host. Vech had been faster, and was already sweeping towards the three towers with flails whirling. Every stroke that he dragged across the back of the Blood Warriors snapped them from their stupor and roused them back into the lust for slaughter that had seen them tear across the plains toward the gate. Kul laughed again. He raised his axe, and curls of lightning snapped onto the hell-forged iron.
"Blood for the Blood Gods!"
he thundered, making those around him froth and snarl with rabid fury.
"One chosen skull for the pyre of his glory!"
He angled his axe towards the Lord of the Storm Delivered and fixed him for the death that would break the back of the glittering host before the night's end.
"You!"
he roared.
"You I shall take myself!"
The passage of the void had been like a death. Nothing save the reforging that he had endured so long ago compared to its straightening pain. He had seen the deep dark in all its abyssal glory, yawning down into eternity over a vault of cold burning stars. Amid that space, he had seen the snatched images of other realms, lit softly amid the thrown scattering of the firmament. He had seen places of blasted stone, over-verdant forests, and screaming towers of multi-hued madness. All of it was different, and all of it the same. Warped by the wills of malevolence, turned into variegated hells, lost to hope. Then the visions had ripped away, replaced by the sheer fire of the descent. He had cried out, feeling the lightning surge through his very body, burning along his veins, spilling from his eyes, his mouth, his hands. Too late did he remember how it had felt the first time, when the God King had reached out to pluck those he deemed worthy of ascension from the failing battles of the old ages. Then the agony snapped out, and he felt the realm of fire solidify around him. He heard the roar of its storms and smelled the acrid smoke of its endless pyres. The cocoon of celestial power bloomed about him, and he saw the dim outline of vast ruins through its translucent veil. The dome blew out, dissolving in a rain of twisting shards. Vandus breathed in the first air of Akshi. He tasted it. He heard its tumults. He felt the unstable tremors beneath his feet. It had changed beyond all recognition. Even if his dreams of the old life had not been so fractured, he would not have known the place. The skies were overcast with driving filth, the earth below sundered with rivers of spitting fire. Only the storm, a mere remnant of the celestial realm's purity, contained any splendor. The rest was spoiled. Lifetimes ago, he had seen the limitless darkness take this world and torture it. He had seen the legions marching under blood-red banners and the skies riven by the screams of the Taken. He had seen the brass cities where pyramids of scraped clean skulls served as altars to gods whose victory was soon to be complete. Even now, removed by both time and space, he could remember the way the world had died. Every withered plain and craggy mountain had been taken, polluted by hatreds that were older than the stones themselves. So much had gone. He could not know how long ago it had been, nor what mortal count of years he had reached before the God King had seen fit to take him for his own. But he had dreamed, in Sigmaron, of the old houses of stone and thatch, in which had dwelt all those he had known in the life before life. He still saw their faces, The warriors who had ridden out with him when the skies were lit with dancing fires and the warbands of hell were abroad. Many had been precious to him, those who had fought longest and hardest, who had followed him out into the wilds and lived among the wolves when the light of the sun itself was marred. There was one face from those years that would never leave him. A woman's. A warrior, just as he had been. The one with whom he had shared his soul. Hers was the only clear vision he still retained. But even then her name was gone. Her skin had been scarred, like all the rest of them, and streaked with the grime of constant combat. It had been a hard face, made tough by the rigours of a war without end. But when she had smiled, her dark eyes had held the light of stars. But now that was washed away, seared by the white fire of the reforging. That world, those faces, all were excised, and what remained was a mere reflection, twisted into horror, more potent than he could ever have imagined. Around him, his warriors hastened to their stations. They had known so little of what they would encounter, save for the vague location of the gate and the likelihood of resistance wherever they emerged. Their prediction had proved sound. A massive army had already arrayed itself before them, pouring down from a far ridge and milling across the plains to the south of their impact sites. The horde before them outnumbered Vandas's own vanguard a dozen times, and even a company of Eternals would be borne down by such tides, given enough time. The task now, the only task, was to endure long enough to see the gate unlocked. Until that was done, they were on their own. Once the portal was opened, whole legions of their brothers would be sent, and the war would commence in earnest. Vandas saw that already his captains were doing what was required of them. Ionis was leading the retributors down from the heights and into the Valley of Fire. They would be charged with holding the line around the base of the portal, and there the crypt-born strange powers would be tested as never before. Anaktos had taken his sky host soaring into the rain-soaked storm, from where the assault on the magical wards would begin. As for Vandas, he had the bulk of the storm host with him, the liberators destined to charge into the heart of the oncoming hordes, to take them on as no foe had taken them on for uncounted years. Their task was to engage the greatest of the creatures of chaos, to prevent them from approaching the gate, and to turn their advance in on itself, buying the precious time they needed. Vandas gazed out over the sheer size of the horde, and a thrill of battle energy shivered through him. They were immense, and their din was already deafening, but the thought of bringing his sacred hammer among them, of delivering the vengeance so long deferred, made his heart race. He raised Heldensen, and his Drakoth let slip a metallic roar from its gaping jaws.
"To me, my brothers!" he cried.
And raw lightning leapt around him. They answered the summons, shrugging off the last slivers of void lightning, forming up into phalanxes of gold. Rain streamed down their armor, and yet did not diminish it. Amid a fallen world, they shone like furnaces sent to burn away the corruption and salvage what little remained. The Drakoth roared again, its mighty lungs hurling smoke and boiling rain far out across the battlefield. The creature reared up, yearning to charge into the depths of the host set before them. Vandas held it back for a little longer, scanning across the landscape, deferring back the charge until he had determined the shape of the battle. Amid the seething mass of crimson-armored warriors, some were greater than others. He saw a mighty champion striding through the heart of the horde, bearing a brass sigil of the fallen gods. He saw a bare-headed beastmaster flailing at the bloodied back of a massive creature, his eyes lit with a feral ecstasy. That one would be the first to reach him, and so Vandas silently marked him for the contest. And yet, they were not the greatest of the army's masters. There was another, perched high on a cliff edge to the south, standing alone before a narrow cleft in the rock. Even from so far away, Vandus could sense the overabundance of power, throbbing like a wound in reality. He was the master of this horde, and by his will alone did it go to war. Even as battle called him, Vandus found it hard to pull his eyes from the Dark Champion. For an instant, he saw an image from another age. A village, burning, swamped with warriors whose armor was much like those he faced now. He saw a young warrior, blonde, grizzled, cut by 100 wounds, racing to face a warlord with a twin-bladed axe. And for the first time in forgotten ages, he remembered his name. Blackfist. Vendel Blackfist. Across the gulf between them, the skull-helmed lord lowered his axe, directing it straight at him. Vandus felt the impact of that cold malice, striking him like a physical blow. Old mortal emotions raced through his mind, ones he had believed to be long scoured clean. And yet, he had been reforged. Those dreams had been torn away and could never be recovered. All that remained was vengeance, the cleansing burn of sacred fire, the retribution of the long ages.
"To arms!" roared Vandus,
holding his warhammer aloft and shifting as the Drakoth bucked beneath him.
"Now comes the hour! Strike them down where they march, and may the vengeance of the God King guide you!"
With a massed roar of acclamation, the storm host broke as one into the charge, serried in gold and sky blue, poised to crash into the vanguard of the enemy with all the fury of the celestial realm unleashed. Anaktos, lord of the sky host, swept high into the air, releasing a shout of joy as he powered upwards. His prosecutors came with him, stretching their pinions and glorying in the release of long-held energy. All around them the tempest surged. The winds were violent, tugging them one way and the other, ever threatening to dash them against the rocks below. After the first exuberant surge, they stayed close to the earth, gliding just high enough to survey the battlefield that sprawled away below them. The gate was to the south, less than half a mile distant. Already its base was overrun with the warriors of chaos, unwitting as to its purpose, but knowing a bastion where they saw one. Ionis had led his retributors towards them, and soon battle would be joined around the massive foundations. More columns of lightning slammed down, releasing the last of the void-sent prosecutors from their glimmering domes. There were so few of them. They were like scarce points of starlight across the face of eternal night. Set against the monsters that now lumbered and crashed towards them, the vanguard looked painfully fragile. Anaktos laughed freely. His wings snapped back hard, pushing him back up into the heights. To test his skills against such a storm made his spirits sing. The celestial realm had been a paradise, one in which even the lowliest towers were crowned with circlets of jewels. But this was another thing entirely. The danger of it thrilled him, just as it did all his swift-winged brothers. He heard Lord Vandus issue the command to advance, and watched as the liberators fell into their battle formations. The last few of Anaktos's own troops broke free of their crystalline cocoons, racing to join his aerial vanguard.
"Faster and yet faster!"
Anaktos urged, addressing his prosecutors as they wheeled about him.
"The portal awaits! You know your task!"
With a clap of wings, the sky host swung around and swept down low, streaking across the battlefield and towards the empty archway. For Ionis, there was no rush of combat joy. He had emerged from the storm's wrath with the same chill disdain as he had ever felt for it. The fires and the lightning meant nothing to him, for they were all fleeting shadows set beside the dread craft that gave him his strength. Already the shouts of the battled frenzied were rising in volume. The blood of both sides ran hot, frothing in the veins of every man who bore a blade. It was mere chatter to Ionis, who always spoke in a whisper, and whose glance alone reflected nothing but infinite silence. Following Vandus's command, he trudged down the slope towards the gate's foundations. The ruins of great edifices stretched away on either side, lain low by forgotten wars. He cared little for them, either. The realm of fire had never been his domain. Duty alone had brought him to this battle, a duty forged when the God-King had delved down into the uttermost depths of the Amethyst realm and snatched him away from his destined oblivion. One night, if the fates allowed, he would return to those moonlit vaults, to where the skies were untroubled by suns, and where the spirits of the ever-slain dwelt in their perpetual shadow. Until then, he would lend the Storm Host his subtle powers, commanding the very laws that bound souls to flesh. Not for him a golden warhammer, but instead a reliquary of bone, one that channeled the esoteric forces of Shaiish itself. The retributors who accompanied him were warriors after his own heart, grim, steadfast, not given to the recklessness of the prosecutors, nor the bravado of the liberators. They would stand firm against the yammering progeny of nightmares for as long as but one of them drew breath, forming a line of gold that ringed the feet of the portal. His task was to hold the base of the gate, ensuring the Horde were kept from its precincts until all was accomplished. Vandus would drive onwards, hoping to gouge a wedge into the centre of the Horde and engage its champions, while the Cryptborn would maintain the cordon around the portal. It was a task after his cold heart. Reckless valour had little appeal, whereas endurance meant everything. Already the front ranks of the enemy were loping towards them, their shock fading as the storm raged unabated above, goaded by their whip-wielding slave masters and propelled by their own blood fury. Ionis watched them come, cracking no smile under his death mask helm. He remembered the oaths he had sworn, as old and hard as the grave, binding him to the service of the one who held the promise of liberation for his beloved lands of shadow. As the first of them drew within range, the Cryptborn held his bone sigil aloft in both hands, feeling the cold sigh of unnatural winds curl around its length.
"Unto death,"
he whispered, and advanced into the maw of hate.